स्वामी निखिल आनंद इज अ डिसाइपल ऑफ जगत गुरु श्री कृपालू जी महाराज. ही रिजाइड्स एट राधा माधव धाम इन ऑस्टिन टेक्सास, विच इज द US आश्रम ऑफ जगत गुरु कृपालू परिषद. ही ट्रेवल्स अमेरिका प्रीचिंग द फिलोसफी ऑफ सनातन धर्म एज टॉट बाय श्री कृपालू जी महाराज. इन दिस सीरीज स्वामी निखिल आनंद टेल्स द श्री कृष्ण लीलाज ऑफ द भागवतम फ्रॉम हिज अपियरेंस एंड बर्थडे सेलिब्रेशन इन गोकुल up until Govardhan Leela when he was 7 years of age. In addition, he explains the effect of listening to Shri Krishna Leelas and how meditating on the Leelas is an important part of the path of bhakti.
We've been listening to the Krishna Leelas of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. We started from his birthday celebration, which happened in Gokul, the morning after his appearance. And we came up to his early childhood after he'd learned to crawl and walk and all of the, as his, you can say, the expanded area of his lila kshetra kept growing. The field of his lilas grew as he roamed farther and wider as he became more adept at walking and going out fearlessly with his friends. Now, today, the Leela we're going to start with, Mother Yashoda hears another complaint about Krishna today. This time, the complaint comes from his own sakhas, his own friends, and his older brother Balaram is backing them up. They all come to Maya after a day of being out playing, and they say that, you know what this little one did? He was eating the soil. He took reached down with his hand, picked up some soil from the ground, and he put it in his mouth. We saw him do it. So Maya said, Kanha, is it true? Did you eat the soil? You're not supposed to do that. I've warned you before. So Krishna had eaten the soil. But he said, no, mother, I haven't eaten any soil. They're all lying, all of them. Maya says, really? Your brother's lying and all of your friends are lying. What reason would they have to do such a thing? So Krishna starts talking that, you know, sometimes if we're playing together and if I win the game, then because Balaram is older than me, he's embarrassed that he couldn't defeat his younger brother. So sometimes these kind of things happen, and to get back at me, you know, sometimes Balaram does things like this. And my friends, well, they know that Balaram is the older brother, so they want to be on his side because he's bigger and stronger than me. So they come to you with such stories, mother. But today, mother was not being so quick to accept Krishna's explanation. So Krishna said, mother, I'm right here in front of you. If you don't believe me, why don't you just look in my mouth and see for yourself? If I've eaten soil, there must be some little bit caught in my teeth here or there. You'll be able to tell that did I put the soil in my mouth or not. Little Krishna is saying this. But his idea was not to let Maya look in his mouth. His idea was that if I say it with such confidence, she will think that, well, he must not have eaten the soil, otherwise why would he be inviting me to look inside of his mouth? So Krishna was thinking that probably Maya will just say, oh, okay, you probably didn't eat the soil. Forget about it. If you're telling me so boldly to look in your mouth, probably you didn't eat the soil. This is what Krishna's hoping for. But today Maya says, I'm not taking your word for anything. You want to show me? Show me. Open your mouth. Let's see. Not only that, but she's standing there with a stick in her hand, like you would call a switch, not a heavy stick, a thin thing that would wobble in the air if you shook it like that. So she's threatening Krishna a little bit that he should feel that he has he has to respect my authority. So Krishna was actually frightened. Frightened of his mother, frightened of that little stick in her hand, frightened of what punishment he might get. And now he's put himself on the line. He said he has eaten the soil, and he has told his mother, if you don't believe me, look in my mouth for yourself. So he gambled that she wouldn't want to look, and now she's saying, open your mouth, let's see. So in her hand, she's got the stick. Krishna's looking at the stick. Little Krishna, just a couple of years old, he's really worried. That stick is threatening. Her hand is waving like that. Her face is serious. Krishna's starting to tremble. And what he does, he can't decide what to do. He says, in his little mind, he's thinking, if I open my mouth, I'm caught. Then down comes the stick when she sees that there is dirt in my mouth. If I don't open my mouth, she's just going to assume, she's going to know at that point, why is he not opening his mouth? Because he did eat the soil. That's why he's not opening his mouth. So the stick's going to come down on me either way. So he didn't know. Krishna wasn't sure. What should I do? Should I open my mouth? Should I not open my mouth? Either way, I'm caught now. So in this unable to decide state of mind, he just closed his eyes and cringed, waiting that for sure now I'm going to get hit. So when is it going to hit? Here? It's going to hit my hand, leg, like where is it going to hit? He had his eyes closed and he's just waiting. And then nothing happened. So he was wondering, what's going on? And he opened his eyes and realized that out of the fear, he didn't decide to open his mouth, but he had opened his mouth, meaning his mouth just opened. Out of fear, he was there, and Maya is saying, mu kol. So it just opened. His mouth just opened without him even... But then what happened was, this part is the inner secret behind this lila. His own power of almightiness, you can call his Aishwarya Shakti, could not bear to see her Swami. This Aishwarya Shakti, all of God's powers have a personified form. And they all serve God. So Shri Krishna is Sarva Shaktiman Bhagavan. All the divine powers serve him. So this Aishwarya Shakti is the most amazing power. This is the power with which God creates and maintains the universe. This is the power with which God can destroy the whole universe. He is all powerful due to this Aishwarya Shakti. But when he's in Braj, he tells his Aishwarya Shakti, this is no place for you. Here I'm doing loving leelas, and my devotees don't think of me as Almighty God. If Mother Yashoda thought of Shri Krishna as Almighty God, would she be holding a stick in her hand saying, did you eat the soil? No soul would behave in such a way if they were thinking, if they were conscious of the fact that this is God. None of us sitting here would. We would all be doing his arti, you know, singing his stuti, singing his vandana, doing pranam, acting very respectfully. But such a respect restricts the love. Respecting God is good. We're meant to have heartfelt, sincere feelings of respect for God. But more than that, we can have a loving relationship with God. But that loving relationship is restricted to the extent that we think of God as God. You have to understand a little bit of the philosophy behind this. Krishna is God, but he's not only God.
सा एक एवेश्वरः नारायणो खिल ब्रह्मांडाधिपति रेकोंशः राधिकोपनिषद यस्यैकनिःश्वसित कालमथावलम्ब्य जीवन्ति लोम विलजा जगदन्दनाथाः विष्णुर्महान् स इह यस्य कलाविशेषो गोविंदमादि पुरुषं तमहं भजामि ब्रह्म संहिता एतेवानेव लोकेस्मिन् एते चांच कलापुंसः कृष्णस्तु भगवान् स्वयं भागवतम् All of these verses from our scriptures are saying that Shri Krishna is supreme God, but that godliness is only part of his personality. As supreme God, supreme almighty God, he is Vishnu. That's what that Vedic mantra was saying. Narayano khila brahmandadhipati rekonchah. Narayan, Vishnu, is the Lord of the whole universe. This universe is not limited in size. It goes on forever, in every direction. The number of galaxies in this universe is unlimited. And there's one personality controlling all of that. Mahavishnu, Narayan. He is the Lord of uncountable Brahmand, uncountable planetary systems. And he is said in this Vedic mantra, Ekaha Anshaha. Ansh means a part of, or a power of, or a fraction of. That almighty supreme God is a fraction of Krishna's personality. Brahma said, Vishnur Mahan sa iha yasya kala visheshah Govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami. O Govinda, Krishna, Brahma is saying, Mahavishnu is ek vishesh kala. Kala means shakti. He is your shakti, he is your kala. That almighty greatness is just a part of your personality. So think of it this way. God is not only God. God meaning all powerful. In his divine dignity, he's beyond everyone and everything. He's the ruler of the whole universe. That's God. So that God is Mahavishnu. And he has other divine almighty forms as well, like Shiva, Durga. These are all forms of Krishna's almighty power. Ete chansha kala punsah. These are all ansh and these are all almighty forms of God. But Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Shri Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. In the first series on the Bhagavatam that I gave last year, I explained to you the difference between Bhagavan and Swayam Bhagavan. Bhagavan means all the forms of God are Bhagavan. Bhagavan Vishnu, Bhagavan Shiva, Bhagavati Durga, they're all Bhagavan. Bhagavan meaning Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashasa shriyaha Jnana vairagya yoschaiva sharnam bhaga itirana. Bhagavatam says, Bhagavala is Bhagavan. Van means vala. So the one who has bhag is Bhagavan. So what is bhag? Six things in unlimited amount. That is bhag. Aishwaryasya. The first one is Aishwarya. Aishwarya, power. status. Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashah shriyah shri, beauty, wealth, dharma, righteousness, yash, status, worshipfulness, gyan, knowledge, and vairagya, perfect detachment, because God is self-contented. The one who has all six of these things in unlimited amount is called Bhagavan. So all the forms of God are Bhagavan. And they're all one. They're not different gods, because there's only one God. God is absolute. So anything absolute can only be one in number. You can't have two absolute things or two unlimited things, because where one thing ends, the other one begins. So they both would limit each other. If you had two gods, one could occupy this area, one could occupy this area, they could not both be God in the same place at the same time, and that would mean they would be limiting each other, so God would, neither would be absolute. So since God is absolute and unlimited, God is only one. So all the forms of God are forms of the same God, they are not different gods. And they are all Bhagavan. But who is the God who is taking the form of all these forms of God? Kids ask this question all the time. If you explain to them that God is only one and he appears in all of these forms that you know of and that you see depicted in the murtis and the pictures in your home and in the mandir, kids ask, but who is that God, who is the one God, who is appearing in all of these forms? Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam means he himself is God and appearing in all the forms of God. So Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Shri Krishna is himself Bhagavan. He is Swayam Bhagavan and he himself appears in all of these forms. This is made clear in the Bhagavatam, because all the avatar of God are described. All those dissensions of God are described in other Puranas as well, but the Bhagavatam brings them all together, describing all the main dissensions of God and then explaining that these are all ansh of Shri Krishna, and they're all included in him. And he incorporates all of those dissensions when he comes on the earth planet. But they are all almighty powers of Krishna. But that almightiness is not the only part of Krishna's personality. He also has his divine love power. That divine love power is not manifested when Krishna is appearing in his almighty form. That divine love power, which is still within him, is not being manifested outwardly. That's why he appears in an almighty form, holding some kind of weapon. But that almighty power is part of his personality. So if he's manifesting that, then he does leelas. As Ram, that divine love power is partially manifested, but still restricted to some degree, and the almightiness shows somewhat in Ram's personality and in his leelas. But Shri Krishna of Braj, whose leelas are described in the first half of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, reveals the totality of that divine love power, the lusciousness of those divine love leelas, that is only revealed by Shri Krishna of Braj. So it means that Krishna is not only almighty, he's also loving. And when he reveals that lovingness of his personality, those bhaktas of his, they get to have some amazing interactions with him. They get to have the most loving relationships with him, where they're not restricted that, oh, Krishna is in his almighty dignity right now. So you have to be careful. You have to be, you know, very reserved in your behavior with him. Like you would be with a king. And you're a subject of the king. Or let's say you met President Obama. How would you behave with President Obama if you met him? Or any president or any king? You would be very respectful and very reserved. So this is how the devotee saints of Almighty God are. Even though they're God realized, so they're one with Vishnu or they're one with Shiva. They're one with those almighty forms of Krishna. Yet they're not free in their behavior. They're reserved. So Krishna reveals the more loving leelas with those saints who loved him not as God. Bhag nikal do. That's what that prema shakti does, that divine love power. It just removes Bhagavan's bhagavatta. Get rid of the bhag. Because with that bhag, it's, think of it that in the world, who do you feel comfortable around? Who do you feel close to? Someone who you feel basically on the same level as. That's why if you met the president or a king or something, we would all feel a little somehow overwhelmed. Or we would feel like he's doing me a favor by acknowledging me. He's doing me a favor by talking to me. I'm somehow less than him. We would have that kind of sankoch. We would feel a little hesitant to talk openly with him or behave in any kind of a free way with him. So think that God, compare him to us, if he has his bhag, unlimited power, unlimited almightiness, unlimited knowledge, unlimited everything, and compare that to us. It would be like the case of, would a beggar ever really consider that, let's say a beggar thinks that, okay, I want to get married. Maybe I can get married to the son of that king. The beggar, she thinks to herself, I want to marry the prince. Would she seriously consider that? No. She would think of marrying another beggar. She would. That's what we all think of people on our own level. Although people may fantasize about marrying movie stars. But do they really think? No, they don't. They look for someone else of their own status, of their own level. So if we're thinking of Bhagavan and we're just souls, would we really think that God would even look towards us and want to be our friend or want to be our playmate like Krishna is with the Gwalvals or give us any kind of loving special attention? We wouldn't dare think that. We think, oh, he's God and I can have his darshan, but that's it. No personal relationship. So with this prema shakti, this divine love power of Shri Krishna, you can say that that prema shakti just drowns his almightiness. He is still God. Sure, he's all-knowing, he's almighty. It's not that Krishna isn't God. He is God, but he's hiding that almightiness. Or you can say, he doesn't even have to. The divine love power just covers up his almightiness. Like, let's say the king is not in some kind of public, you know, official setting. He's in the privacy of his own home, with his own family. His crown is off. He's wearing his pajamas. He's not in his royal robes. There's no one around. There's no security cameras where anyone can see what is he doing. He's in the privacy of his own home with his own family. Then you can say his kingliness will be completely covered up. Maybe he has a 3-year-old son. and his three-year-old son is playing in his lap. Now, ask yourself, what do you think the king gets more pleasure out of? The relationship when he's the king and his subjects are nervous around him and they want to please him and they, you know, salute him from a distance. Does that relationship give him more pleasure? Or does having his three-year-old son play on his lap and not even care that he's the king? That gives him more pleasure. His three-year-old son he probably is old enough to know that, oh, my daddy is the king. Everybody salutes him. Everyone gives him respect. But that boy doesn't feel that, to me, you know, he's not the king. He's the king, it's fine. He's the king for everybody else. But for me, he's my father. The king may have some friends who treat him in the same way, in perfect privacy, where none of the subjects can see, where none of the media can see. But in privacy, maybe they grew up with him. And they've known him since he was a boy. You know, I used to babysit you. Maybe one of his friends is a couple of years older than him. Yeah, you may be the king, that's fine, but I used to babysit you. I used to feed you. You know, is that person ever going to treat him like the king? Maybe in public he'll show proper respect, but in private he'll treat him as his close friend. So what I'm saying is that those saints who love Krishna with those feelings, that you are my friend or you're my son or you're my beloved, those loving feelings, what they do is they actually create the same loving feeling in Krishna's heart. Because whatever feelings a soul has for Krishna, he loves that soul the same way in return. So it means that now that relationship has overshadowed God's godliness, his Bhagavata. So in Braj, Krishna is revealing these loving leelas. He's not acting in his capacity as Supreme God. He's like the king who's come home and he's in the privacy of his own home. That's Krishna in Braj. He's there with his closest loving saints, none of whom think of him as God. So he says to his Aishwarya Shakti, that almighty power that makes him godly, he says, you don't come in Braj. Here you have no place. I'm doing all the loving leelas. That's how Mother Yashoda is able to frighten Krishna holding her little stick. How could God be afraid of a little, quite elderly, Yashoda was not that young when she had Krishna, quite elderly lady, holding a little Santi, and Supreme God, who has unlimited power, is trembling in front of her? How is that possible? Someone might say, well, because he must be acting. He wants to give, you know, show such loving leelas that will attract people's heart. So in order to do so, he has to act like an ordinary boy that people can relate to. Otherwise, there's no charm in it. So he must be acting. But if he was acting, there would be no charm in that either. Who would want to, you know, would you want to have a friend that you knew was just acting or pretending to be your friend? You want someone who is really your friend, who has the same feelings for you that you have for them. So in fact, what happens, because Mother Yashoda loves Krishna as her own son, and that creates, not creates, but because of that, Krishna has the same loving relationship in his heart for Mother Yashoda. So he thinks of Yashoda as his mother. He's not thinking, I'm God and this is a soul, and this, how is a soul going to threaten me with a little, holding a little stick? He's not thinking that. He's thinking, this is my mother. That's it. So you can say that Yashoda's love has made Krishna forget that he's God. But it's not just the feelings of her heart, it's an actual divine power, Krishna's divine love power, which Yashoda is in possession of because she's a divine saint, and which, of course, Krishna has. So, Krishna is truly trembling. He's not pretending to be afraid. He is afraid because his mother is going to discipline him. So like any little boy would be afraid, Shri Krishna was afraid, not acting. But his Aishwarya Shakti, who had been banned from Braj, that no, if you're here, how can I do these sweet loving leelas if I'm thinking or remembering that I'm God? I should forget that I'm God, and my devotees should forget that I'm God, and that way we can have these loving interactions. But Aishwarya Shakti was seeing, oh, today, look at my master, her master, Krishna. Although he has sent me away and said, you don't come here in Braj, yet, look, today he's going to get unki pitai hogi. I can't bear to watch. I can't allow this to happen. So when Krishna's mouth opened, without him even wanting it to open, and Maya was about to look in, this Aishwarya Shakti just came quickly into Krishna's mouth and showed that the whole universe is within Krishna. So Maya was looking for a little bit of mitti inside of Krishna's mouth, and she saw Ananta Koti Brahmand worth of mitti inside of his mouth. She looked inside, and his mouth was probably, you know, little mouth of Krishna, that big. And she looked inside and she saw the whole solar system, and beyond that the galaxy, and beyond that other galaxies. She saw the entire universe within Krishna. She saw all the souls living in the universe within Krishna. She saw Indra, she saw Brahma, she saw all the forms of God within Krishna. She even saw her own self. She saw the earth planet she was on, and she saw her own self. And you can imagine she just started to feel overwhelmed. And that's when Krishna opened his eyes and saw, because he was thinking, you know, where is the stick going to hit? And he was cringing. And then he just carefully opened his eyes like that why, what's going on? And he saw mother had dropped the stick on the ground, and she was trembling, looking at him in fear. And he thought, wait a second, what's going on? Then he knew, oh, you Aishwarya Shakti, you came here, you get out. And then using that Yogamaya power, he made Maya forget the whole thing that she had seen. This Yoga Maya is also called Mohini Shakti or Vaishnavi Shakti, because it's that Yoga Maya that makes Krishna forget he's God and makes his devotees forget that he's God. So using that Mohini Yoga Maya Shakti, Shri Krishna just made Yashoda forget, because that's not part of a loving leela. When the devotee sees God's almightiness, then Yashoda started thinking, oh my goodness, could he be God? Then see how she immediately reacted? She felt like a distance between her and her son. So Krishna didn't want that, because Yashoda doesn't want that. In her previous life, she and Nanda were devotees of Krishna. And they got a boon from Brahma. They asked Brahma that, please, next time we are born on the earth planet, let us have Ananya Prem for Shri Krishna. So Brahma graced them to get to have Krishna as their own son. So Krishna said, no, let me make mother forget about that, and otherwise how will she love me as her own little boy? She won't get the ras of those childhood leelas if she's thinking that I'm God. So Yashoda forgot completely about it, and she just thought, oh, I just got a little dizzy, you know, I was feeling a little unsteady. Okay, anyway, but then she forgot about punishing Krishna, which was good for Krishna as well. She said, okay, chalo, let's go. So, a little after this Leela had taken place, it so happened that one day Mother Yashoda, although they had many servants there in the house, because Nanda had 900,000 cows. They were very wealthy, so they had many servants, and Yashoda, it's not like she had to do all of the housework herself. But today she decided, I want to make makkhan for my Lala. So she herself started churning the curd. She was busily doing that, and while she was doing that, she was singing all the leelas of Krishna. Everything you've heard described up until now, she was singing all of those leelas. But along comes young Kanhaiya, and he's hungry. So first thing he does, she had the strap she's using for churning. He grabs that so that now she can't churn anymore. And he looks into her face with his eyes full of love, you know, saying, Mom, I want to eat. I'm hungry. And then he grabs and, you know, starts climbing up into her lap. So she was helpless in the love of her young son, Krishna. She gave up the churning and she sat and she started nursing Krishna. But then she realized that, oh, I had put some milk on the stove. I was heating some milk on the stove and she heard it, you know, boil over. So she quickly took Krishna and put him down and ran over to the stove to get that milk off the stove. So little Krishna felt a little angry that mother has put me down so fast. I was feeding, I was so, you know, happily drinking her milk, and she just put me down here on the floor. So while she was in the other room, he just picked up a heavy pestle, you know, for grinding the spices. He picked that up and he just smashed that big pot of curd that Maya was churning. Just smashed it into little pieces and then left. Went over to the neighbor's house, went in there, started eating their butter. So mother came back and saw there's just, you know, this pot of curd is spilled all over and the pot is just broken into little bitty pieces. So she knew, this is my Kanhaiya's kartuti. So she went out looking for him. Meanwhile, Kanha had eaten his fill of butter, and he'd grabbed another pot of butter, and now he's sitting outside the neighbor's house on an overturned ukal, having a nice high view, sitting up there with the pot of butter with him, and he's distributing to the monkeys. But he knows that I smashed that pot in mother's house and she's going to come looking for me. So he's very alert. He's looking around here and there and he's distributing to the monkeys. But mother is smart. She knows how to sneak up on a young child. So she came around from behind. So imagine the scene. All-knowing, omnipresent God, and a soul is sneaking up on him. Again, how is this happening? Through the divine love power, through the Yogamaya Shakti. So, that Yogamaya Shakti, even though that Krishna is omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's all-knowing, he knows every thought of every soul, and in fact, he's noting down the thoughts of every soul of that. At that very moment, the same Krishna, in the form of a young boy, is distributing butter to the monkeys and afraid that my mother isn't coming up anywhere, is she? And she's sneaking up on him, and he doesn't know. This is the miracle of that divine love power. So when she got just almost close enough to grab him, he realized she was there, and he jumped down and started running. So Krishna was old enough to be quite fleet of foot. But today Maya says, I'm not letting him get away with this. So she started chasing him. And as she's running, you know, she was really determined, but she, as I said, she was not very young. She's trying to catch Krishna, and her, as she's running, her braid is kind of coming loose, flowers are falling out of it. She's trying to catch up to Krishna. And when Krishna looked back and realized that, she's really getting tired, and he could see the sweat forming on her forehead, then he slowed down just enough that she was able to grab him. Again, think about this. Who did she grab? Who did she catch? This is the Supreme God that it says, Tade tajannati, tade jannati, tadantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasyasya bahyatah. He is so far away that no one can reach him. Great yogis and tapasvis, jnanis, they go in their meditation and they try to reach him in their meditation. They try to grab him, but he's beyond all of them. How did Mother Yashoda catch him? Shri Krishna himself says in the Bhagavatam, later on in the 11th canto, he says, Bhaktya hame kaya grahya. I am grahya. I can be caught. I can be grabbed through bhakti. So how did Maya catch him? Through her bhakti, not through her power. Ved says about attaining God that Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo namedhaya nabahuna shrutena yame vaisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivrinute tanugvam swam. God is not attainable, not through meditation, not through intellectual study, not through listening to speeches about God. There's no way to attain him. Then how have uncountable souls attained him? By surrendering to him, and he let himself be attained, or he gave himself to those souls who surrendered to him. So he accepts a soul when that soul surrenders to him. But through one's own power, no one can attain him. Nasadhayati mam yogo, nasankhyam dharma uddhava, nasvadhyayas tapastyago, yatha bhaktir mamor jita. Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna tells Uddhav, mamor jita, I am conquered by bhakti. But I cannot be conquered through any other means. And he named many, many ways. Not through yoga, not through jnana, not through self-study of the scriptures, not through any kind of karma or good actions, not through tapasya, austerities, not through renunciation. I cannot be attained or conquered through any of these means. I can only be conquered, defeated through bhakti. Defeated means aham bhakta paradhinah. Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna says, I am paradhin to my bhakti. Paradhin, like he is with Mother Yashoda, trembling before her, being caught by her when she chases after him. How is it possible for a soul to catch God? Only through bhakti. He's caught up by their love. That's it. So having caught Krishna, Mother Yashoda says, you know, she looks at him and she sees that he's really, you know, he starts crying. The kajal is running down his cheeks. Again, he's frightened. That what is mother going to do now? just like he's still a very young child, so his emotions just overwhelmed him, and he thought, oh no, I did, because he knew I did such a bad thing, I smashed that pot. So now he's afraid, like any young boy would be afraid, and the tears come, and mother doesn't have the heart to punish him. But she says, I have to do something. I can't just let him go free right away because he'll just run off and do something again. So I'm going to tie him up. She decided, I'm going to tie him to the ukhal. The ukhal, you know, big heavy clay pot that they use for pounding the rice. I'll tie him up to that. So she brings him over to the ukhal. And she gets some rope. And Krishna's standing with his back to the ukhal. And she brings the rope around, but it's 2 inches too short to tie him up with. So she gets some more rope, and she joins that rope to the original rope. She puts it around him, and again, it's the same amount short, 2 inches short. She gets more rope, she ties that on, she puts it around him, and it comes up the same length short again. She kept doing that until she ran out of rope. In the entire house, there was no rope left, yet every time she went to tie him up, it came up the same 2 inches short. Then when Krishna saw, again, pasina aa raha hai maiya ko, then he let himself be bound. So it's the same thing being shown through this leela, that Krishna cannot be tied up through anyone's power. No soul has the power to tie up Shri Krishna, but Shri Krishna is bound by his devotee's love. So Krishna let Maya tie him up. He is tied up to that ukhal. There's a verse. Aho chitram, aho chitram, bande tat prema bandhanam, yad baddham muktidam muk. Brahma Krida Bhrigi Kritam. This verse says that look at Krishna and look at the greatness of divine love. That Krishna is tied up by the love of his devotees. The same Krishna who gives mukti, mukunda. He is the giver of liberation. He liberates a soul from all the bondages. The giver of liberation is himself tied up by his devotee's love. So that's why it's said that there's a kram. See, the souls, we souls who are under Maya, we're bound by karma. But karma is under jnana. Gyan is under moksh. Moksh is under Bhagwan, because only God can give liberation. But God is under Prem. So under Prem is Bhagwan, under Bhagwan is moksh, under moksh is Gyan, under Gyan is karma, and under karma are the souls. But after doing devotion to Shri Krishna and surrendering to him, the soul goes up there above Bhagwan. Not in terms of power or status, but in terms of the sweet, loving leelas. Look, Mother Yashoda, a soul has tied up God, has tied up Shri Krishna with her love. These are the leelas of the Bhagavatam, which reveal the most loving state of divinity, where his almightiness, his dignity, godliness, is completely drowned in this divine loving relationship with his devotees. In the ras of that relationship. This relationship between Krishna and Mother Yashoda is called Vatsalya Bhav. So that Vatsalya Bhav, in that loving relationship and in the interaction, Mother Yashoda is enjoying Vatsalya Ras, and Shri Krishna is also enjoying the same Vatsalya Ras. So in that intoxication of that Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Krishna forgets he's God, and Maya forgets that he's God, and that's how the whole thing happens. So mother tied up Krishna and she went in the house to do some more chores. This is how Krishna got his name Damodar. Damodar. Udar means the pet and Dam means the rassi. So he got given a new upadhi because of this leela. So Damodar was tied up to the ukhal and Maya went inside. And Shri Krishna started crawling off, pulling the ukhal behind him. And as he crawled, this big heavy ukhal got caught between two trees. Yamala Arjun trees, they're famous. Arjun tree is a type of tree in Braj. Yamal means a pair of Arjun trees, Yamala Arjun. So he came and the ukhal got stuck. So Krishna was trying to go in that direction and the ukhal got stuck between the two trees. Who were these trees? They were the sons of Kuber. Kuber is the god of wealth, the celestial god of wealth. His two sons had been cursed by Naradji to become these two trees. And Krishna was about to release them from this curse. You might think, why would Naradji curse anybody? He's a Mahapurush. In fact, he's said to be a dissension of Krishna himself. He's mentioned in the Bhagavatam as being an avatar of Shri Krishna. So how could a saint be angry enough to curse someone? A saint is always absorbed in his divine state. So we should know that any time there's a curse in any leela, it is always for the good of the one getting cursed. How did Naradji come about? How did he give that curse? Those two sons of Kuber, they were playing near Mount Kailash, near the source of Ganga, in a beautiful forested area, garden area, just on the bank of Ganga. And they were completely intoxicated with their status, that we are the sons of Kuber. Kuber is the god of wealth. So they had so much wealth, such a high status, that their brain got totally intoxicated with that. And they were just behaving in the intoxication of their own pride. Their own pride of being wealthy and of being someone important. And Naradji came along and basically they disrespected him. So Naradji, out of the kindness of his heart, decided that I'm going to do something to remove their pride. I'm going to do something to remove the intoxication that their mind is under, because as long as someone is under such an intoxication, they could do any wrong thing. Because they just, their mind gets addicted to enjoying all the things that they can enjoy due to their wealth and status. And they just want more and more and more. And they get so absorbed in doing that they forget about how to behave properly. And they do all kinds of wrong things in an effort to enjoy more and more and more. And they show disrespect to people. They may even harm or kill other people out of their desire to maintain their status or enjoy this world through their senses. So Naradji says the best thing for them is if they just lose their status altogether. A person in their state cannot even benefit from the association of a divine saint. Because that person doesn't even have a desire for spiritual knowledge. He's completely engrossed in just enjoying all of his material pleasures. Whereas a poor person, Naradji said, all of this is recorded in the Bhagavatam. Naradji says, a poor person is much better off. Why? Because let's say someone is so poor, giving an extreme example, so poor that he doesn't really get enough to eat every day. not so much that he's dying, but he's hungry a lot. He says that person's senses actually sukh jate hain. They start withdrawing. So he's busy trying to find his food and meet his basic physical needs, but his mind is not going out looking for all those other sensual enjoyments. A person who has great wealth and indulges his senses in all those kinds of enjoyments, he gets spoiled and he wants more and more. He becomes greedy for more and more of that. Whereas a poor person, he doesn't think of enjoying great things. He just thinks of getting enough food to fill his belly that day. A person in that state is very humble normally. And that kind of a person is much more likely to turn towards God or to be humble before a saint and be open to that saint's teachings. So Naradji says, best thing I can do for these two is to just make them fall completely from their status. So he cursed them. He said, you go and become trees. But you will get a chance, you will be liberated from this state as trees through Sri Krishna's grace. He himself will come and liberate you. And while you're there, you won't forget. You'll be able to think of God while you're there in the form as those trees. Normally, if a soul is born as a tree, his mind is not developed enough to even be able to think of God. But Naradji graced them that you will remember who you are and how you were behaving and why I'm giving you this lesson. And you'll be able to think of God, and you just wait. Eventually, Krishna will come to you. So that day, Sri Krishna, knowing Naradji's whole plan and knowing who these two trees were, he started crawling over. And when his ukul got caught, he just pulled a little hard, jerked forward, and he uprooted those trees. They're quite big trees and they just came crashing down. And those two sons of Kuber were released and they just appeared out of those trees in their beautiful form. And then they did a stuti of Krishna, praising him. And then they went, and with humbleness, they went back to their celestial abode. And all the, you know, Nanda Baba and the gopis and everybody came running. The crack of those trees breaking, it sounded like lightning or something. They thought, what happened? And they came running. And they saw little Krishna in between the two trees had fallen right beside him. And all the leaves and everything were around. But of course, he was unharmed. And they saw him and they were amazed that, you know, it just fell, but he wasn't harmed. And they were asking, how did it happen? Even though the answer was right there in front of them, Krishna was tied to the ukul, and the ukul was between the two trees. Anyone could have deduced what happened, yet they couldn't ever imagine that, no, how could little Krishna have that much strength to pull over these two trees? And there were some boys who were playing nearby as well who said, he did it. We saw him, he just pulled and the trees fell over. But all the adults said, no, 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 no. How is that possible? Our little Krishna couldn't have done that. So Nanda Baba came and he untied Krishna from the ukul and picked him up. And in this way, Sri Krishna, although here and there he used his almighty power to do a lila here or there, killing a rakshas or knocking over the trees, but for the most part, his almightiness was not seen in Braj, and wherever it was, those Brajwasis were, in their heart, they never thought of Krishna as God. Even when they saw him doing something almighty, they just said, oh no, no, how could that be? Oh no, he's just my Krishna. And in this way, he distributed his divine love and revealed these loving leelas for the whole world here in Braj, and all of this is recorded in the Bhagavatam. So tomorrow we'll see that a very important day came in Krishna's life soon after that, or sometime after that, where he got to do something for the very first time that he hadn't done up until now. So we'll learn about that and some other leelas from the Bhagavatam tomorrow.